this morning and quieten our hearts. Father, we quieten our hearts before you, and we have an attentive ear to hear your word this morning as you speak through your Spirit. Use me, I pray, in Jesus' name, and help everyone here to hear your word in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are looking today at the Word of God, specifically in the area of perfect in every good work. And this is important for us because we need to see ourselves as people that are along the road of success in the Lord. In other words, we're not stagnating, we're not standing still, we are going forward in God. There is a walk to walk. It's called the walk of faith. And that's what we talked about the other night. We must be people that are walking that walk, and out of that walk are coming what the Bible says are good works. If you have a look at Ephesians 2, first of all, verses 8 to 10, we have to see that we are created for God and to do what God wants us to do. If you look at Ephesians 2, verses 8 to 10, we'll read this section of Scripture. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So you'll notice that we are saved through faith, by grace, by what God has given. Okay, God's enablement. It's not of ourselves. We didn't work for our salvation. That salvation was provided for us, as the Bible says here, it is the gift of God. It is something to be received. And of course, believing on Jesus Christ is seeing him as the Saviour. He is the one that we receive, because as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. So we become sons and daughters of God, become children of God through the gift which God has given to us, his salvation. Praise the Lord. And of course, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. In other words, we cannot work. None of us have been able to, and none of us will be able to, because we cannot work for our salvation. Salvation was provided. Jesus became a curse for us. Now that is self-evident, even though there's many religions and even many people calling themselves Christians who have what we would term a works-based type salvation. I've got to work in order to get better, to be acceptable by the Lord. Well, that's not the case. We've got to come by faith to God, and we have a salvation that's a gift. Now, we have been born again if we've received Christ as our Saviour. Every one of us have been born of the Spirit. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. We've been born again. We've been changed on the inside. And so no longer are we to go the way of the world. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. No longer are we to walk according to the course of this world, but we have been changed. Notice what it says in verse 10. For we are his workmanship, something which God has done, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So, if a person said to you, is God still creating today? Well, you'd have to say yes, wouldn't you? Because there are many people who are getting born again who are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Of course, his physical creation is finished. We know that. The universe has has been created and finished, and sin entered into that, and we're living in a cursed, fallen creation at the moment. But we see here that he is indeed creating in Christ Jesus, through his workmanship, he's creating people, new creatures in Christ by what he is creating. In other words, he is producing new people on the inside. The Bible calls that the new man. And the old man, of course, is dead in trespasses and sins. The old inner man. And so you need to have, and if you're born again, you have that, the new inner man. Now, all of these things that we've talked about are very clear. They should be clear. But notice it says, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now that tells us that we are not to be people that are idle in God, but there are good works that we've been created to do. Good works that we've been created to do. As it says there, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So it's been God's plan for people to walk in his way and do the good works that he wants us to do. And this is very important, that he wants us to do. Now, how do we know what God wants us to do? It's by knowing his will, which is in his word. By knowing his will. If you don't know his word, you're going to also be ignorant of his will. The one thing we do know through the word of God is that he wants his word preached, for example. He wants his word, and the gospel, to be preached to all nations. He wants his word to go forth. He wants men and women to come to Christ. See, all that's part of his will. And all of that you can find in the scriptures. What happens if you're ignorant of the scriptures? Well, you wouldn't know his thinking on many subjects, would you? Now, God can also talk to you personally as you get the word of God in you. He quickens things to you, and he'll quicken scriptures to you, and thoughts in line with the scriptures. But you've got to know his will. You've got to be aware of what his will is. Look at Hebrews 13, verses 20 and 21. Hebrews 13, verses 20 and 21. Now, this makes it clear that any work that we do as a Christian has to be in line with his will. And so knowing God's will is very, very important. We'll look at that in more detail in a minute. Hebrews 13, starting from verse 20, says, "Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do" what? His will. Okay, keep that in mind. So make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is something we need to receive by faith. We need to receive by faith. You see, verse 20 talks about the God of peace, the God who has provided that great covenant through the blood of the everlasting covenant. We have that as an eternal foundation in our life, because if we're born again, then we have linked into the blood of the everlasting covenant. The blood was what purchased the whole of mankind. It's purchased you and me. We've been bought with a price, the Bible says. And it's saying that this God of peace make you perfect. We've got to come to the Lord and say, "Lord, I pray that you work on me to make me perfect in every good work to do your will." And start to believe that. Believe that you are being led by the Spirit of God. You can say things like, I'm always in the right place at the right time because I'm led by the Spirit of God. Put that into your mouth. Start to say, I am knowing God's will. Lord, the Lord is showing me things in His Word. Father, make me perfect in every good work to do your will. Notice what it says just after that. Working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight. Well, what's well-pleasing for God? It's a faith walk, isn't it? And so the works that you do will be the result of faith. It cannot be, oh, I accomplish this work for the Lord in my own strength. That cannot be. Why? Because the Scripture says I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So it's through Christ, isn't it? It's in Christ, through Christ. So our reliance on the Lord Jesus Christ is absolutely crucial. And so it must be that everything comes together in our life, because it says make you perfect in every good work, not just some, every good work, to do His will. As we bow the knee to the Lord, say your word is final, and not rely on ourselves, not live unto ourselves, not rely on ourselves, but rely on Him to get us through. Because if we relied on ourselves, then how can this be, where it says, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through who? Jesus Christ. Isn't that what it says? Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. So our lives and our works must point to the Lord Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. You see, when this earth has melted away, when the heavens have melted away, there's still the Lord Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. So where do you want to be? You want to be in Christ or out of Christ? Well, obviously, when you're in Christ and you stay in Christ, you're going to go into, as the Bible says, you'll have everlasting life. Everlasting means forever and ever. In Christ. Praise the Lord. Now, our good works don't start when we get to heaven. The good works that we've been created in Christ Jesus unto good works starts here on the earth. Doing His will starts here on the earth. Isn't that what Jesus said? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, how is God's will going to be done on earth? It's through His people. It's through His church. It's through us taking steps of faith and walking by faith. It's through us being obedient to do the good work of prayer. Obedient to do the good work of giving into His work. Obedient to do the good work of getting His word out to the lost. Now, there's different facets of what we can do. Some of us are called to do some things, others to do other things, but the whole point is that we do God's will. So let me just read verse 21 again, make it clear to us. And we should be operating this in our life, saying, Lord, make me perfect in every good work to do your will. Because I don't want to do my will. Even Jesus said when he was on earth, not my will, but the Father's will. You see? And we're to walk like Jesus. We're to be like Him. We're to be conformed to the image of Christ. That's what the Scripture says. Make you perfect in every, not just some, every good work to do His will. Working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. So your life must be focused on Christ. And your works must be focused on Christ. Okay, there's some people, they might give great donations to things and so on, but it's for their own glory. Now there's some things you should be giving and no one should know about it except the Lord. We have to be people that operate by faith according to the Word of God. Look at Malachi 3, 16 to 18, where we live for God, not ourselves. Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. Malachi 3, verses 16 to verse 18. Let me read it. It says, "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name." Now, this scripture tells us that God is writing a book of remembrance about those that feared the Lord. Do you fear the Lord? Well, fear the Lord means putting the Lord first place, having an attitude of reverence and honour towards the Lord, putting him as first in your life. Verse 17 says, "And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not." We must see that there is a difference between the righteous and the wicked. Well, of course, the difference with the righteous is that they have received that free gift, that gift of eternal life, that gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, the gift of righteousness. The wicked are those in the other category. They have ignored Christ. They've ignored the gospel. They've ignored the word. They've ignored the church. They've ignored everything about God. Some of them may think, well, I haven't ignored God. But the way they think about God is completely different from the biblical way. And notice it says that there is a difference also between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Now this is where we've got to get our works correctly in line with what God wants. You can be working and thinking you're doing things for the Lord, but unless it's according to his will, it's going to fall to the ground. So our serving must be, "Lord, make me perfect in every good work to do your will." It should be a prayer in our mouth. "Make me today perfect in every good work to do your will. Lord, show me what you want me to do. Show me what you want me to do this month. What do you want me to do this year? What do you want me to do, Lord? Show me." And you know, if you pray that out of a heart of faith, the Lord will answer you. He'll show you. And it's up to you not to ignore him, because some of the things he might show you might be different from what you thought you should be doing. So every good work in the Lord must line up with his will. And it's a faith thing. You can't be just racing off doing your own thing. You've got to do what God wants to do in you. Because there is a difference between the people that serve God and the people that serve him not. Now, the righteous are meant to serve God. The wicked are not serving God at all. They're serving themselves, they're serving other gods, they're serving other masters, serving the God of this world. They're not serving God. The only way you can serve God is through Christ. It's the only way. You come in to Christ, as we went through that. You come into Christ, receive him. He's done all the work of salvation. You receive that salvation and you come into blessing. And as you live a blessed life and go forward in Him, you do the good works that He wants you to do. So if the Lord prompts you to pray, if the Lord says for you not to forsake the gathering of yourselves together, but to support the work of the Lord and so on, that's what we're to do. And He'll say many other things to you in line with His will. But being perfect in every good work to do His will is a faith statement. Because some people will say there's no such thing as being perfect. There's no such thing. But in Christ there is. In God there is. Because it says very clearly, make you perfect in every good work. Not just some, every good work to do His will. Now that's a faith statement, isn't it? Because if I was to think the way of the world, I would think, oh, there's nothing perfect. I couldn't be perfect to do everything that God wants me to do. But see, that's going the opposite to what God says, isn't it? What you should be saying is, God can make me and is making me perfect in every good work to do His will. Can you see what I'm saying here? And I believe this is the leading of the Lord for us to be looking to Him constantly. Not to be thinking of the words of the world or people outside of the scriptures. In other words, they're talking about things and they talk at variance or different to what the scriptures, the Bible says. Have a look at Colossians 1, verses 9 and 10. Now we've looked at this a lot of times. But I want you to see, what is the Lord doing in your life? Is He making you perfect in every good work to do His will? We should pray along those lines. And you should believe along those lines. Because God is doing that. If you believe along those lines. Colossians 1 verses 9 and 10. Now there is a filling that God wants to do in people's lives. Verse 9 says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be," what? "Filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in," how many? "Every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." Now this is the will of the Lord for you, for your life. He wants you to be filled with the knowledge of His will. You cannot be filled with the knowledge of His will if your priorities are such that you want to put into your heart everything else or allow all types of other things to come in to the detriment of for example, preaching or teaching or reading the Word or studying the Word. I've often said there's no excuse in today's technological society for us not being able to get the Word into our hearts easily. What it requires is for us to say, I will do it. I will do God's will. I will bow the knee. God wants me to pray, I will pray. God wants me to fast, I will fast. God wants me to do this, I will do this. And it's something that is so fundamental, and yet there are many people that divert out of the way. It is so fundamental. Look, over the years I've met so many people who have said, I am a Christian but I don't go to church. Well, automatically you're out of God's will. And yet they don't see it. And so if you're out of God's will in that very fundamental thing, imagine what other things they're out of God's will in as well. So you get the fundamental things. Yes, the Lord has shown me I must be connected to the body of Christ. And I must do this. I must pray. I must be involved. That's fundamental. So anything of the world that would try to take you away from that cannot be of the Lord. Can you see? It's fundamental, isn't it? And yet, there is so much deviation in people's thinking. And I said to someone just recently that if you're not of the Word, your mind will be corrupted and changed to think otherwise. Can you see the idea? Can you see what we're saying today? So this is why it says in verse 9 that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Spiritual understanding is often very different from worldly understanding. I gave you an example before. There's nothing you can be perfect in. You can't be perfect. How can you get? There's no such thing as perfection. But by faith you can say, God's making me perfect in every good work. So there's an example of perfection in the Lord. But you have to say it by faith. Obviously, if you looked at each individual person, you'll see flaws. But you see, perfection is much more about what is your attitude of heart. What is it you're saying in your heart? Okay? It's much more about the Lord looking on your heart. The Lord looks on the heart. He looks right deep into your spirit. He looks into your inner man. And he knows what you're thinking. He knows your attitudes. He knows your motives. And if you have a heart for God that doesn't want to explain away things but wants to do his will, well, that's what the Lord wants. And he is doing a work. He's working in us. Notice what it says in verse 10, that ye might walk. Here we see that word walk again. We are on a walk of faith. We are not stagnant. We are going forward constantly. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. It has to be faith then. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. And you have to be seeking him in all things. Unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Here's another faith thing, isn't it? Lord, make me fruitful in every good work. So clearly, it must be good works to do his will. To do his will in every good work. Be fruitful in every good work. And increasing in the knowledge of God. Increasing in the knowledge of God. Not decreasing. Not the longer you are in the Lord, the more you don't know. But the longer you are in the Lord, the more you know about the Lord. You know about his word. You know how, for example, how to walk by faith, how to pray and get results and so on. And if you don't, then you need to get that spiritual understanding, which you can only get through the word of God. So it's not a matter of it's been held back from you. It's a matter of us putting a priority on it and allowing ourselves to be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now this is fundamental teaching, absolutely fundamental, and yet it's deviated from constantly. It's fundamental that if you put God's word as your foundation and say, well, I value God's word, and then you're doing things differently, then you cannot be doing his will. Can you see what I'm saying? For example, I'll give you another example. If the Bible says be careful for nothing, and yet you're full of worry about something, are you in God's will when you're full of worry? Or if he says that God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind, do you have a sound mind when you're full of fear or worry? So therefore, the will of God is not for you to be worrisome. In fact, the Bible says, let not your heart be troubled. The fear of the Lord is not to be troubled or worried. The fear of the Lord, the will of God, is for us to be free from that. And so when that type of thing comes to us, when trouble comes, we use the weapons of our warfare. We use the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. And that's why we need to have spiritual understanding, because the world will say things like, well, aren't you worried about it? You should be worried about it. Why should I be worried about it? You should be worried about it. Have you heard them say that? You should be. Well, you should be worried. And then they'll talk worry. They'll talk fear. But you see, it's the opposite flow in the Lord. The flow in the Lord is faith. The flow in the Lord is trust and believing. The flow in the Lord, the way we walk, is in spiritual understanding, and that is often very different from worldly understanding. Very different from carnal thinking. So we're to be filled with the knowledge of His will. Filled with the knowledge of His will. Have a look at Acts 19, and we'll finish with this one. Acts 19, verses 18 to 20. Acts 19, verses 18 to 20. Now, the Lord has been showing me, particularly over the last 2 or 3 years, that things have to line up in the Spirit. Things must line up in the Spirit, and then they're manifested in the natural. You know, when this church first started, if we'd been sent, let's say, 100 people, it would have been disastrous because we weren't prepared. You know what I'm saying? Because the Lord has had to do a work. He had to do a work in my heart. He had to do a work in everyone's heart here. And this is what we have to see, that there is preparation in the Spirit. And God will then cause things to happen. He'll perform His word as we observe His word. Looking at Acts 19, starting from verse 18. And many that believed came and confessed, and that's what it says, and showed their deeds. There's no use just saying, just believe, I believe, and just confess Christ, but your deeds don't match. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. Some people might say, you burnt those books and you could have grabbed that 50,000 pieces of silver and given it to the poor or something. You see? You got rid of that? Oh, how valuable was that? Valuable to who? You see, notice what it says there. They used curious arts and brought their books together. They were spell books of some sort. Of what value is it to the Christian? Well, it might be valuable to, you know, the sorcerer or those who are witches and so on, but it's not valuable to us at all. And certainly what we should be looking at is the things that we are to do as Christians are very different from the things which the world might say, yeah, you know, that wasn't good. Book burning's not good. That's what they'll say. Have you heard that? Book burning's not good. You know, I often think that there is a certain book burning that's got to happen in the future in the churches as a whole. And I think you all know what I'm talking about, because I'm going to be preaching on it next Sunday night. And that type of book burning, it doesn't matter how wonderful, you know, it might look or how much it might have cost. To get rid of that out of their lives was a deed, was a work that said, I am serious to go the Lord's way now. I am serious to go the way of the Word. And let's face it, if a person comes and they've got an idol in their life, they can't hold on to that idol and serve the Lord Jesus Christ at the same time. They have to get rid of that. Okay? They have to get rid of the attachments to that. And notice what it says after that, verse 20, and this is what we want. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Do you think if they hadn't burnt those books, those spell books, those books of curious arts, do you think if they hadn't burnt those, that it would have impeded the growing of the word of God? Certainly. Certainly. You know, in the churches, there has to be a lot of what we would call cleansing of the sanctuary, or clearing out, or judgment that has to happen. People have to judge themselves, have to say, well, I'm not lining up with God's will. There are things in my life that have to be taken away. You know, many years ago, I confronted a person who was, you know, deeply involved in following a certain witchcraft type book. They got offended. Instead of listening to the man of God, they got offended. Now, you cannot say, I serve Christ, and yet you've got all types of things in your life that need to be dealt with. To do the works that God wants you to do, you've got to get rid of the things that are going to stop the word of God mightily prevailing. Can you see what I'm saying here? And I just want to leave you with that thought this morning, because it's something that we need to think about. And certainly right across the body of Christ, it needs to be thought about and acted upon, repented of. I have let things get in the way that should not be there in my life. If I say I serve Christ, it has to be out of my life. And this is the reality. It's not a fictional thing, it's not a made-up thing. We just read an example in the scripture. It's something we have to take hold of and say, well, you know, there's going to be people who will even come into the church here. They'll have to forsake things of the world, even if they've got attachments like chains to them, chaining them to various things of the world. Those have to be broken. Those have to be stopped. Out of their own free will, out of their love for God, out of their knowledge of the Word of God, spiritual understanding. Because as I said, if you didn't have spiritual understanding, you'll say, well, that's $50,000 or pieces of silver. Oh, what we could have done with that money, you know? But that's worldly thinking. Spiritual understanding is, I want the word of God to prevail. And I cannot allow things that are going to hold that back to stay. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for the salvation provided by Jesus. And I ask, Lord, that you make us perfect in every good work to do your will. And that you work in us. You work in us to do that which is well-pleasing in your sight. Work in every single one of us here, Lord, so that anything that needs to be taken out, cleared out, prompted to our memories, to our minds, to our hearts, show us, Lord, reveal it to us, so that we might deal with it, because we want the word of God to prevail in our life. We want to do those good works. And I pray, Lord, that there be a purging in us, every one of us, a purging so that we get out that which shouldn't be there, so that we might do your perfect will in our lives. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And just before we finish this prayer, I just want you to go home today and just get before the Lord. Get before the Lord and ask the Lord to reveal to you, to show you, and if necessary, repent, get it out of the way, because God wants your heart to be free so that he can do a good work. He can work through you. He can use you. So just get before the Lord in your own prayer closet, in your own home, and say, Lord, do a good work in me. I want to do that which is well pleasing. If there's anything in the way, I don't want it to continue to be in the way, in the name of Jesus. Help me, Lord, show me. But pray that sincerely and in faith. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.